This is the Starter Pack.
But you can't see what happened yesterday and not think, I know this guy's good. Now, how great can he be? Jordan Love is fully cemented in that position.
100%.
And now it's how high can he go?
Now, here are your hosts, Max Meyerson and Josh DiMaggio.
Welcome in to the Starter Pack. We have a fun edition for you today, a fun show, something we've never done here before, but Max and I both are self-proclaimed draft freaks. I believe Max has been doing his own mock draft for many years with his friends.
Yes, that's right. We do our mock contests every year where you get a certain amount of points for getting a pick right or close or getting the right position. So, and that's always a fun time. So I love diving deep into the mocks. You know, I'm into the mock game.
Uh-huh. So I've only ever done one mock. It was for a website that was very short-lived. And I did like one mock and a couple prospect rankings, and then that website went under. So I haven't done this in a while, but I spend most of my time around draft season just absolutely devouring everything I can, reading every prospect profile. I don't think we're going to waste much time on, you know, what this guy does well, what they do great. We're just going to kind of look at the board, look at the consensus, what people we expect to go in the first round, and kind of assign them to the team. I don't think there's much question here on this first pick. Everyone, unless you have something crazy to say, Max, I think the draft really starts at pick two.
Totally agree.
Which there's been some interesting things that have taken place regarding pick two. But obviously, pick one to the Chicago Bears is Caleb Williams. He and Drake May have been the two prospects that were considered to be potential first overall. It seems inevitable at this point that Caleb Williams is the number one pick.
He is minus 20,000 to be the first pick.
It would be an absolute shocker because even if he doesn't go to the Bears and the Bears, for whatever reason, decide they want to trade the first overall pick again,
he's going to be the number one pick.
He's going to be the number one pick after that. Yeah. So the next one is pick two is the Washington Commanders. And this, to me, is where things get immediately interesting. Because if you've been following the news the past 2 days, Jane Daniels was, first of all, a Heisman winner. Then the draft process started and no one was talking about him as the second quarterback off the board. And then he became the consensus favorite, the betting favorite, the heavy odds-on favorite. And then just as yesterday, literally 24 hours ago, the odds completely flipped and Drake May, who I previously mentioned, is being mocked now, is being bet to. You have the odds in front of you there. What is Drake May's odds?
So right now, Jane Daniels is still hanging on as a favorite, but Drake May is plus 100, so even money to be the number two pick. So some people are still hanging on to that Jane Daniels ticket. They're still believing in it, but the money's coming in on Drake May, and these odds are tightening. Jane Daniels is minus 125, Drake May plus 100.
And I believe it was the ESPN bet I was just hearing on Greeny.
Yeah.
I believe that book has moved Drake May to the favorite.
Which wouldn't surprise me because Adam Schefter reported today that the Jane Daniels visit with the Washington Commanders went extremely poorly, leading to his agent tweeting out some scratching chin emoji about them considering another player at number two. So that whole thing's weird right now with Jane Daniels and the Commanders, and it would not surprise me to see Drake May go right here. And it's a matter of, are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do this mock draft. We first thought we were going to do our own, and then we figured we didn't want to make all the people out there listen for two straight hours.
Yes.
So we're going to alternate. And do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go. Evens. You'll go odds.
Yeah, we're gonna kick it off from here and just alternate every single pick. We're going to tell you the team, who we think is going there. So, Max, you are on the clock. I think for this first time, since that was the first time I said it, can you add the little boom, boom, boom?
Yeah,
boom,
I will.
Boom.
I will.
Yes.
I'll find it.
I need a couple of those.
We'll do it. We'll get it going.
Yeah,
we'll get it going.
I need those. Those get you in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
I heard somebody playing it the other day, and I was so fired up.
Oh,
that
note,
the draft chime.
It gives me chills. I'm just picturing my mind, and I have chills.
I do want to mention before we get too far again to interrupt you. Thursday of the draft, we will be at the Q Club. You can listen to a various amount of people. You can hear Wilde and Tausch. You can hear Gary Ellerson. Homer will take a part. Jason Wilde. Just basically everybody, Chewy is going to be a part of it. They will be doing Thursday of the draft out at the Q Club. And then Friday is going to be myself, Alex Strofe, and Gabe Neitzel taking you through both the second and third rounds.
That's a fun group right there.
It's going to be a fun. We will be digital only. So if you want to listen to us, you'll have to go to our YouTube stream and watch us there. But we will be sitting through both rounds of the draft, and I'm sure we'll get a little slap happy as the night goes later.
Oh, yeah.
And we take you through the Packers pick. So with the second overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select
Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. I'm buying into the smoke. And honestly, I don't know how we all overthought this. He was the number two QB the entire season. He was number two QB going into the offseason. He's going to the Commanders. It makes all the sense in the world. Drake May, number two, to Washington.
Yeah, I think I have long held the belief that he was the second best quarterback, and everything going on regarding Jaden Daniels was pretty much pretty clearly to me smoke regarding it. I think it was. I think the intention has been from day one for the second team to the Commanders to take Drake May. I just think there's been which happens, and we take part in it. There's a lot of stuff that goes out, a lot of information, some of it good, some of it bad, but things change and then they go back to how they always were. You always hear about, you know, well, Will Levis was supposed to be like a top five pick last year.
Yeah, yeah.
His odds like skyrocketed and then he went nowhere near there.
Yeah.
So stuff like that happens. I do think, though, in this situation, and with pick three, I am going to go with the guy we just mentioned who is originally here. I am taking Jaden Daniels to the Patriots. I think Daniels, as a Heisman winner, the Patriots are extremely needy, and I do think he's talented. And I think the Patriots can sell themselves on pretty clearly that being the pick here. Also worth mentioning, I should have set this up in the beginning. We're not going to do any trades just because I don't want to start doing the—
That would take a long
time. Yeah, we'll be here forever.
We're going to start figuring out who traded for who. I'd have to agree to your terms.
Yes.
We don't need that.
Exactly. So I am going to stick with Jaden Daniels here as the third overall pick. I don't think we'll see a drop like we saw from Will Levis and all those other hot names that pop up around the draft. I just think the— with a new organization in New England, Elliot Wolf, Ron Wolf's son, I think they kind of have their mindset on quarterback here, and he is the guy I would make the third option off the board.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to take a lot for them to move off this pick and not take a quarterback in the spot, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I just think, yeah, again, Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who was seriously considered to be the number two pick in the draft, falling to them at three. I think they take that and run. Now the Arizona Cardinals are at pick four. Now this is a prime trade spot, but as we just said, we will not be doing trades. And they said if they're not going to trade this pick, the pick is simply Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv, as Gus Johnson likes to say, the number four overall pick, the first non-QB off the board.
Yeah, he is the number one player. He's a guy everyone has talked about for a long time. We've heard a lot about Malik Nabers from LSU as potentially being the option over here. I think when you're this high in the draft and you have somebody with the pedigree and the history that they have, they're just going to stick with what works. Even if they end up in a trade down situation here, I think there's a good chance it still is Marvin Harrison as their pick, depending on how far they go down and what they need to, what a team trading up would need to do to get there. But I am totally in line with you on that pick. Let me pull up my board here as I keep going. The number five pick is to Jim Harbaugh's Los Angeles Chargers. They have needs at the offensive tackle, defensive line, and wide receiver position. This hasn't been a super popular pick, and I haven't really been able to figure out why. Because as we know, as we watched Michigan go an undefeated season, he loves to establish the hell out of the run.
Yeah, oh, I love it. Run the ball.
So there is a potential he likes a left tackle that maybe has a little bit of a better draft grade in run blocking than Joe Alt. But Joe Alt is the type of prospect who, have there not been three quarterbacks, he's a top two pick in this draft. In terms of talent, he's number five on our consensus board that we have here. I mean, he's a monster. He proved everything you wanted to see from us. He has a pedigree from where he came from. He's all the size in the world. I think Joe Alt is the best offensive line prospect off the board, and he's going to be the first one to the Chargers here.
I think that's a good pick. I totally agree with you. If we know anything about Jim Harbaugh,
run the ball.
He loves the trenches.
Yeah. Don't rule out Blake Corum going to him later in the draft.
Most certainly. I mean, I don't know why we're even debating this at this point. All right. So I have the number six pick here in front of me, the New York Football Giants.
This one's been a little interesting because there's been some QB rumors floating.
So this is where I have to start thinking, what do I think is going to happen versus what would I do? If I were them, Malik Nabers is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And they have a serious need at wide receiver. Yeah. But they have rumors of them trading up to number four to take a quarterback. If so, if they're going to stay put at six and have this guy fall to them, I'm sorry, I got to do it. J.J. McCarthy is the number six overall pick of the New York Giants, who once again take a quarterback who everybody thinks might stink.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a team building aspect, this is probably the right move. Wide receiver to me seems sort of like a luxury pick for teams, and teams don't often treat it that way.
Yeah,
I would, if you think McCarthy is the fourth best quarterback in this draft, then you end up taking him. If you think he can be even better than that and people have it wrong, I agree that that's a...
It wouldn't shock me at all.
No.
If J.J. McCarthy ended up being like the second best quarterback in this class.
It
would shock me if he was the best. But I could see Drake May being the project toolsy guy. Jaden Daniels, the guy who didn't break out till his senior year. It would not shock me if J.J. McCarthy ended up being the second best QB in this class.
It wouldn't. You have to do a lot of selling yourself because he completed so few passes.
Yes.
Where they were winning games and blowouts where he attempted like 10 to 12 passes a game. But he certainly impressed at his pro day, which is also a thing I heard said about Zach Wilson prior to.
Zach Wilson, one of the great pro days of all time. Let's not disrespect the great Zach Wilson pro day.
So I think that's a fair pick. I think you're kind of right in line there with what actually is going to happen. And I think even that spot there to the Giants, if they are trying to keep Daniel Jones and see what happens, a trade out and a pick by some other team like the Vikings there, it would make sense for a quarterback to go there as well. Our next pick here is the seventh overall pick. It is to the Tennessee Titans. Now, I have a board here that's telling me teams draft needs because I've got a pretty idea of what they need. But the only thing listed for the Tennessee Titans, most teams have two or three, is offensive line.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to take the next best guy on the board here, and that's Fashanu. From Penn State. He is the ninth overall guy on the draft board. He is offensive tackle two. They've got one need there. There's certainly a possibility they decide they like one of the other tackles in this class more, be it Fuaga, be it Latham, be it Mims. But it seems like the order here for offensive tackle is pretty set in stone for the most part.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that they're very upset that you took Joe Alt as Jim Harbaugh for the Chargers.
Yes.
I think that's the guy that they're probably eyeing in on. But, wow, I'm sitting here at eight now with the Atlanta Falcons, who have a luxury of weapons, as you like to say.
Yeah.
And Malik Nabers is still just sitting right there.
Yeah.
And I really want him, but I got to follow the board. I got to follow the team needs. I got to follow the odds. And the odds are telling me that they're going to draft an edge rusher because they have a serious need at edge rusher. And it's between two guys, Liatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, and Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. Latu's got an injury history, a neck problem that had him medically retire at one point. I think they're going to avoid him there. So Dallas Turner is the pick, and Malik Nabers falls all the way to number 9, sitting there pretty for you.
Yeah,
and the Chicago Bears.
The first defensive player yes. off the board here is pretty interesting that we've gone this heavy offense, but I think that is the most likely of scenarios here.
Yeah,
I think it's there are good defensive players. Obviously, there's just no defined edge rusher where there's no Myles Garrett running yep. around out there. There's no one where you look at and go, this is a must pick.
Yeah, if you look historically, yes. edge rushers are the ones who are predominantly in the top 10 amongst defensive players. Every now and then you'll get a cornerback class like the Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley year. But for the most part, it's defensive linemen, edge rushers who've filled up that first top 10 picks, and there really isn't that top guy, like you said, like no Myles Garrett, no Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So this pick here to the Bears is very interesting to me. I think the Bears have a lot of other holes they need to fill. I think they're a team that you can write an exciting history about, but if you hear the latest about the Bears' approach to Caleb Williams is they're trying to build an infrastructure totally around him. They do still have some needs at the offensive line position. They have invested there in recent years. But I think if you're trying to keep your brand new quarterback happy, you take Malik Nabers, the guy who's supposed to be the next best thing out of LSU. LSU has had a recent history with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell Beckham, you name it. They have a lot of talent come out of there. He's the third guy on the consensus board. He's probably pretty high on the Bears board. I think they should take a tackle here with their roster already having DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, who is advanced age. Yep. But at this point, you're trying to keep that quarterback there who there's been rumors about potentially not being too excited about the Bears yeah. franchise.
You know, here's the thing. If you're a number one overall pick, it's hard to get a better situation than what the Chicago Bears had because they didn't actually earn the number one overall pick. They traded for it. It was Carolina who had the number one overall pick, and they got Keenan Allen in the offseason. They added Deion. They added a bunch of, you know, weapons around them. If they take Malik Nabers here, I mean, I'd argue to say this is the best situation a number one overall pick has gone into, and I can't even remember how long.
Yeah, it is. Any sort of failure here is on no one but
yeah.
Caleb Williams.
I totally agree. Yeah, yeah.
They have built a franchise that is primed and ready for a quarterback. They've done, as much as I hate to say it, a good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's undeniable that they've done a good job. That trade last year for to Carolina for the number one overall pick was an absolute heist. Yeah. Simple as that. It was a heist.
All right, that brings us to pick number 10 and Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets.
This has been the chalkiest of chalk picks,
mm-hmm.
and I think it makes sense. Romo Odunze is sitting there, and I like him a lot, but Brock Bowers
yeah.
is the pick for the New York football Jets.
Brock Bowers, obviously the first tight end taken on the board, really the only tight end with a first-round grade. He obviously comes from the best type of place, playing at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it was interesting that Aaron Rodgers showed up to off-season program, which he didn't like to do in Green Bay, but has the past 2 years in New York. And that just so happened to match up with when they did their top 30 visit with Brock Bowers and the Jets. So
yeah.
I think that is not merely a coincidence of the timing of that. We'll see what happens with Brock Bowers in terms of being an actual prospect here. He obviously played at the highest level in college, but he didn't do any athletic testing, which is pretty interesting because all in terms of tight ends that go top 10, they all are like elite athletes. And a lot of times they don't produce right away. So for Aaron Rodgers' case, I hope he does.
Yeah.
For my personal case, I hope he's a massive failure.
All right.
Is that rude?
I think it's a little rude. It's just sort of just getting caught in the crossfires there. I don't know if he truly deserved that, but that's all right.
Number 11 is going to, who is the number
11? Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings. This one, pretty interesting. They've made it pretty damn clear they want to trade up to get a quarterback. In this situation, we just kind of need to pick the next quarterback up here. You went with J.J. McCarthy. I think I have to give them Michael Penix in this situation.
I could see it. They do have another first-round pick later in the draft at 23 overall. So if they wanted to, say, wait and see, they could do that. But
I think when it comes to quarterbacks, wait and see is a dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. Yes. But I mean, at this point, you are taking the fifth quarterback off the board at pick 11, which is...
And he is on the backside of our consensus board here is pick 35. I've seen this option actually pop up a little bit recently on other people's mocks. I think it's possible. You know, they've got plenty of needs on the Minnesota Vikings because they seemingly just decided to reboot the whole team outside of Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. So they've got Aaron Jones, and now Aaron Jones has a new quarterback to match with him.
Yeah, no, I like Michael Penix Jr. in general, so I'm okay with this, and I'm having fun with it. So, yeah, cool, I like it. All right, number 12, the Denver Broncos are up. They also desperately need a quarterback, but I just can't do it. I just can't give them a quarterback.
Yeah. At this point, Bo Nix, 12 is...
That's a tough pill to swallow. Yeah. But they also traded Jerry Jeudy in the offseason. They have a needed receiver now. Romo Odunze sitting right there. He's an absolute stud. I don't think they hesitate, and they take the guy.
Yeah, Romo Odunze has everything... In most classes, without the two elite wide receivers taken ahead of him, he's probably the first off the board. Mm-hmm. In any other draft, this draft has two positions that are extremely deep, being the offensive line and wide receiver, which would explain why we've had so many of those guys go off the board early for us here. Moving on, unless you got something else to say.
No, we're good.
Regarding that team. Moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry,
Oakland. Every team you have has left you.
The next pick I'm going to make is an interesting name. We talked about him today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is cornerback Quinyon Mitchell.
Love Quinyon
from Toledo. He is a small school guy, but a guy who tested absolutely insanely at the combine. He's the second guy off the board. He is what you would imagine is a shutdown corner. We saw Sauce Gardner come from a smaller school, Cincinnati, who played some good teams to give them their credit.
Yeah.
Toledo, not so much. In this position, I was thinking, do I go with the third offensive tackle off the board here, or do I give them the best cornerback in the draft? And I'm going to give them Quinyon Mitchell.
Love that pick. I think he's an absolute stud. It's a great cornerback class. The fact that one fell all the way to 13, I think it's just a great class. So I think that that's a fantastic pick. Here are the New Orleans Saints at pick 14. They got all sorts of needs. Quarterback, wide receiver, tackle, defensive line. They're kind of just in full-blown rebuild mode. And... they can go any number of directions here, but I think that they're going to try and build up that offensive line, and they're going to go with tackle J.C. Latham from Alabama.
J.C. Latham, pride of Wisconsin, went to Catholic Memorial before transferring to IMG and then playing his career at tackle for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So he is a guy who's been mocked high. He's been a guy rumored to the Packers as well. A little hometown connection there, as you know, Wisconsin fans love to pull off. I think either of the options there would be totally fair for that position. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to the Colts right away. The Colts, I think, are pretty upset with the... how things have turned out here in the front end. They pretty clearly want, if Brock Bowers falls to them, I think they'd have interest. I also think they would have interest in any of the wide receivers. But I'm going to go back-to-back of my picks with Terrion Arnold from Alabama. He is a cornerback as well.
Nah, that's a great pick.
He and Mitchell, who I just previously mentioned, are the kind of guys that are interchangeable at this point as the top prospects off the board. You got the pedigree. You got everything you want there from Terrion Arnold. I do think if, for whatever reason, the Jets don't take Brock Bowers, they look at that. And I also think if one of the top three wide receivers that have already gone off the board are there, they would also make that pick.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great pick. I think he's, you could argue he's as good a pick as Kenyon Mitchell was. I think they're neck and neck as the top two corners in the class. That's a great pick. So the Seattle Seahawks are up here at 16. They have needs everywhere in the trenches and the interior of the offensive line at edge. They really haven't had a go-to pass rusher since I can ever remember. Liatu Latu, yes, he has an injury history, but he's on the field the best edge player in this class, and I think they're going to go ahead and make that pick at 16 overall.
This is also another guy being rumored to the Packers because of the injury history.
Yes.
He's massive. He's created a lot of disruption when he was on the field. It was just the – you mentioned he was medically retired.
Yes.
Because of that neck issue. He did come back and play and was immediately productive again. He doesn't really fit the Packers' terms in terms of, like, age. But they have branched out of that. So I think that's if for whatever reason teams are uncomfortable with him and the Packers are.
Yeah.
And I know most Packer fans listening to this are going, oh, no, not an injury guy. Because their first round picks have gone down to injuries and not played. But he is, especially if you're moving to a 4-3 like the Packers are, the type of guy that could pretty much play instantly and be productive instantly.
Yeah.
Which would be a change from the Rashawn Garys and Lucas Van Ness's of recent history.
Yeah, and the thing that's hard to project about him is you just don't know which teams are just straight up like, we're not touching him.
Yes,
like,
that happens a lot.
There are teams that are just going to say, we're not touching him unless he's there in like the third round. We're not touching this guy because of his injury history. So, but at the same time, you just look at his production on the field, somebody could have happened to him easily as their top edge rusher. So it's just hard to project with him, but I think middle of the first round is kind of a fair place.
Now, this one, I think, is going to upset and frustrate Packers fans. This is a guy that has gotten more run than really any draft prospect on the ESPN Wisconsin airwaves, and that's Cooper DeJean.
Of course.
I think the Jaguars have airmailed what they want to do with this pick. I see a quote here from Trent Baalke that simply reads, "We've got to add to that group," referring to the defensive backs. DeJean from Iowa is an athletic phenomenon. He is a guy people think can play multiple positions. Some people might just view him as a true boundary shutdown corner. If that's the case, he has all the intangibles to do it. It'll be interesting to see if he goes this high. I just don't think when this draft gets said and done that anyone is going to be able that the Packers are going to have a shot at him at 25. I just don't think that type of athleticism with the program and how good that defense is that he's going to make it that far.
Cooper DeJean. There he goes. Sorry, Packers fans. I see it's in stone now. Nothing you can do about it. All right. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock here at 18. As always, they have needs along the offensive line. Always was the issue. And I think this is a sweet spot for them. They got Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fontenot from Washington, two guys to choose from. But we're going to go with Fuaga from Oregon State as the 18th overall pick at tackle. I think finally they get themselves some solidification. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Solidified, I think is the word.
Solidified along the offensive line.
Yes, that is Joe Burrow has battled injuries.
Especially with
the entirety of his career at this point. I believe they even lost their previous tackle that they had. His name's escaping me right now, but he might have ended up on the Chiefs. Whatever it is, they need offensive line help. It's another one of those where they barely have any needs listed for this team. It's simply offensive line and wide receiver because the T. Higgins thing is up in the air. But we can move on to pick 18?
19.
Pick 19 with the Rams. This is a team kind of in uncertain territory right now with with Aaron Donald retiring. And I'm going to find his replacement right off the gate.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Byron Murphy.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
From Texas. He is the type of guy who you don't want to project anyone to be like Aaron Donald, but he is similar to Aaron Donald in his disruption rates, the things he had going on next to him. He had Tavondre Sweat, who recently was nabbed on DUI, as a guy next to him, but I think they see a hole and they see a guy that's pretty obvious here to fill that hole in Byron Murphy.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick. I think that's kind of a common mock at this point because of exactly what you said with Aaron Donald retiring. Him filling in that spot on the defensive interior as the top defensive tackle in this class makes a ton of sense. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock here at 20 overall. They have needs along the offensive line, as usual. Now we need a wide receiver after trading Deontay Johnson. But we're going to stick along the offensive line. Last year, in the second round, they took Joey Porter Jr., JPJ. This time, they're taking another JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, as the first non-offensive tackle, interior offensive lineman, to go in the draft here.
Another guy mentioned to the Packers because of the uncertainty of Josh Myers at that position. He's a guy that has been kind of gotten more popular. He's been making it into the back half of the first round. Center is typically not a pick that goes in the first round, but is a pick that is getting more and more valuable, especially with interior linemen like we saw getting $30 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't think taking a center is by any means a bad move if you think he's going to be an instant.
And it feels like if any team's going to do it, an old school kind of team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they love the trenches.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You couldn't.
They want their new Pouncey. You know what I mean? They want their new 15-year starter in that position. But yeah,
our next pick is the Miami Dolphins. This one to me, I think, leaves us a ton of options.
Yeah,
I think. Even though it's not listed necessarily as a need, I think they would go edge. I think they could go offensive line. I think they could pretty much look to add anywhere on this team since they also had a big run of players leaving there. But the guy I'm going to go with is, to me, it seems like it just fits the Miami Dolphins and how they build their team. I'm going to go with Marius Mims from Georgia,
yep.
The tackle. Obviously, there are other tackles some people might view above him, Fautanu as one of them. But to me, they're just going to make that offensive line better, try and help out Tua, and try and ride out as long as they can with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as their wide receivers.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick. Obviously, keeping Tua upright is super important for them. But now at 22, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock. They, of course, fell apart specifically defensively last year, and I think that that's where they're going to have to look for their first pick. And they're going to take one of these great corners in this cornerback class. They're going to take Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson.
This is probably the guy I know the least about for some reason, maybe because Clemson is such an unfun team to watch last year.
Especially last year, yes.
And once again, another name that has been mocked to the Packers previous. I think that has kind of changed. I don't know if that's happening as frequently, just be the way team needs are figuring out. But the defense and the defensive secondary for the Eagles has kind of been a consistent issue. So I like that pick there as well. Now, we get to the old Cowboys, Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy. They're going wide receiver. That's pretty much.
I think you're skipping a pick right now.
Oh, am I?
The Vikings are up at 23. Oh. And then I got the old Cowboys at 24.
That is my bad. I did not know I was skipping the old Vikings here.
It is their second first-round pick.
We already gave them the corner.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to go wide receiver. They already have the quarterback that they got in the first round. So I'm going to go, and I'm not sure about this pick. I just feel like it's a talent and a physical specimen dropping here. I'm going to go Chop Robinson.
Ooh.
Spicy.
They obviously have the two wide receivers they feel good about. They have the left tackle that I believe Mark Tauscher has said is one of the best in the league. They certainly could add to their offensive line here and improve that position. But their defensive front, I think they can see and sell themselves here a guy that is just simply talented and they think can be, you know, help them slow down the Caleb Williams and Jordan Love that are now in the same franchise with them. So I'm going Chop Robinson from Penn State.
No, I think that's a super fun pick. I love that. But now we have the Dallas Cowboys up here at 24. And boy, oh boy, is it going to get interesting. Last year they took Mazi Smith, I believe, with their first pick, and it was a complete disaster trying to fix their run defense. Jerzon Newton is sitting right there, the defensive interior player from Illinois. But if we know anything about Jerry Jones and Dallas Cowboys, they like shiny things.
Yeah.
They like flashy things.
Yep.
And Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU, is a shiny, flashy, fun thing, and he's going to be the 24th overall pick in this class. Boom.
Brian Thomas is the next highest guy. He is another LSU guy. If you remember LSU, they had the Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry draft.
Yep.
I think that makes sense.
Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, back-to-back years. They're pretty good at this wide receiver thing.
There is a name I want to throw out as a potential here, and this is I saw Adam Schefter talking to one of the draft Knicks. I believe it was the guys that established the run. And he said A.D. Mitchell is a guy that is going, if you're looking at him in the bottom half of the second, you've probably got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So while Brian Thomas very likely could be the pick here, I just want to throw that name out because I don't know if A.D. Mitchell's going to find a spot on our board here from Texas. So I think you made the right logical pick there. I just wanted to...
I love A.D. Mitchell. Don't get me wrong. If it were me taking the pick, I might take A.D. Mitchell over Brian Thomas Jr.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just looking at it through the eyes of Jerry Jones, and I know what Jerry Jones likes.
That's a special lens to look for.
Yes.
Now we get to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Set this up nicely for myself here. And it does give me an interesting decision to make here because there is a guy who is number 13 on the consensus board at edge rusher. If we know anything,
I know.
If we know anything about the Green Bay Packers, they love their edge rushers, and with good reason. Though it's a very valuable position. You want guys that can protect the quarterback and get after the quarterback. There's a guy here I love, and I've talked a lot about, that is Grant Barton, the Duke center slash tackle slash offensive guard that plays multiple positions. And there's also Fautanu from Washington, who is also another guy who has played multiple positions. But with Verse still on the board and being as athletic as he is, I think I have to go Jared Verse.
I love it.
I think the Packers in this situation would look at the board that broke out in a way very favorable to them. A bunch of wide receivers, not a position of need. A bunch of quarterbacks, not a position of need. And then once we get past those first two or three offensive linemen, I don't know how sold they are on the fourth, fifth, or sixth best option. I do think there is a chance that they view Graham Barton as an even better guard prospect than they view Jared Verse as an edge prospect. But from what I know about the Packers and their love of athleticism, I think that Jared Verse here is as good of a pick as Graham Barton. What do you think?
I think if you were to look at this right now and just say, who is the best player on the board regardless of position?
Yeah.
I think you can make a very strong case for Jared Verse. I love him. I think he's an absolute stud. It would be weird having them take back-to-back years with a defensive or an edge player. Obviously, we know.
Especially that they paid one ton of money.
Rashawn Gary, obviously. So, like, they're sort of stacking up at that position unnecessarily, but you can't deny that the value for getting Jared Verse here at 25 overall is stupendous. Yes, they have needs along the offensive line, but I don't think you can pass up on a talent like that.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's entirely my logic behind it.
It makes a ton of sense.
I think you could sell yourself on a case where they think, you know, maybe we get the best from Lucas Van Ness at the interior position. Maybe they slide him down and kind of make him a rotational piece there that also can play on the outside in certain situations. Obviously, we've got the Kingsley Enagbare injury that's playing a massive factor here. And the Packers don't always draft for what they instantly need in the first round. They draft for what they know they are going to need, which also opens up the Johnny Newton from Illinois possibility because Kenny Clark's uncertain future. Everyone kind of just expected the Packers to re-sign Kenny Clark and open up some money for themselves, and that didn't happen this offseason. So I think there's a potential here where even though there is the glaring need at the linebacker position, the safety position, and the offensive line, the Packers just take the best guy available and say, we'll figure it out.
And I think in general, as a draft strategy, that's you're way better off doing that than just trying to fill a need.
Right.
Because you're more likely to hit on a guy if you just believe, I believe he's the best player, than if, oh, I think he can help me fill this position right now.
Right, and the Packers have done that before. They've made some picks that made people scratch their head, and then that person develops, and you go, oh,
yeah,
I understand why. So while it's not an instant need, it's not even a need listed here on the team needs, the Packers and taking edge rushers just go hand in hand.
Couldn't have said better myself. All right. Well, I think that was a great pick by the Green Bay Packers. I think they got a super talent at 25. But now we got to move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 26 overall. They have needs along the interior of the offensive line, and I think they're very happy that the Green Bay Packers passed up on Graham Barton, and they're going to take him, the all-versatile Duke offensive lineman.
Yeah, I love Graham Barton. I would be ecstatic, even if they passed on Jared Verse in this world we've created here.
Yes.
In our mock draft, he played left tackle. He played center. He does have smaller arms, but Brian Bulaga also had smaller arms, and he was a pretty damn good right tackle. To have a little Packers chat and extend it since we are on.
Yeah, let's keep it up.
Because who cares about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers other than them taking the guy we like?
I care about Tampa Bay. nobody cares about Tampa Bay.
Rob Domofsky had the comments about how in the building some scouts or people view Zach Tom as a great right tackle, a Pro Bowl guard, and a Hall of Fame center. They also have talked about Elgton Jenkins. Zach Tom was drafted to be a center and then ended up playing outside right tackle and dominated some of the best edge rushers in the NFL. So I say all that to mean they like guys that play multiple positions. Yeah. And even though you think right now the right tackle or the left guard position is solved, that might not be the case mid-season of 2024. You could see if there is another guy taken here, if Graham Barton does go to the Packers, or even Fatanu, who also played multi-positional things. We could end up in a situation where the offensive line has pretty much only Josh Myers playing the same position, and like Sean Ryan might be the right guard next to him. That is a potential. Now, you can say who you would prefer to play center, who you'd prefer to play left tackle, who you'd prefer at right tackle. But I think this offensive line is basically, we want guys that play multiple positions, and we're going to put the best five of them on the line in some order.
Yeah, and I think the brilliant strategy about that is there's always going to be injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to go down, and you're going to have to be able to be versatile and have to shift the offensive line. And to have multiple guys who can play multiple positions means that you can get the best five out there regardless of what position they're playing. And they've always believed in that philosophy as long as I've been here, and they've always had that depth at the offensive line to be able to do that. So, yeah, I think that would be right along the lines of what the Green Bay Packers' philosophy and belief systems are.
So Graham Barton goes to the Buccaneers. The next pick on the board is the Arizona Cardinals, correct?
That is correct.
A trade. That is their second pick.
Yes.
You mocked Marvin Harrison to them.
Yep.
If that pick doesn't happen, I think there's a very real possibility you could see A.D. Mitchell as the other pick to the Cardinals. The other name here that interests me is defensive end Darius Robinson, another guy we've seen mentioned to the Green Bay Packers. He is the third edge player that is getting drafted, SEC guy. He has gotten a little smoke here at the end. I think he fills a need. He fills a premium position. And the Cardinals are happy to come off the board. They don't want to take the fourth or fifth best corner. They're just going to take the next best edge rusher at a position of need for the team.
All right. That's a good pick. So now the Buffalo Bills are up here at 28. They have gone through quite the offseason. They have needs now wide receiver, tackle, defensive line, linebacker, and defensive backs. I think
did they mention wide receiver after trading Steph Diggs?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're wide receiver and letting Gabe Davis go. Yes. It's Khalil Shakir and who else?
Is Cole Beasley still around?
They can call him up. They can take him off the couch. A little Joe Flacco run for Cole Beasley this next season could be potential. And because of that, I think that they're going to fill that wide receiver need right away, and they're going to take A.D. Mitchell, as we were just talking about him earlier, the wide receiver from Texas.
A.D. Mitchell he might end up being like the second or third best wide receiver in this draft class. You never know who might end up as an option for them. But I think A.D. Mitchell makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad he ended up in the first round here because depending on what his over-under is, that's a bet I would make at the sports book to see if that was available. Yeah. So on to the NFC North foe, Detroit Lions. They are pick 29 at this point.
Yep.
They have needs at edge rusher, interior defensive line, defensive back. I don't think the edge rusher board broke out in a way that is favorable to them. I don't think they're necessarily thrilled with how the cornerbacks have gone off the board, but I do think they make another Packers rumored guy, a guy they had in for a visit, and that Goody spent time talking to at Alabama Pro Day. That is Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think he, as likely as we mentioned Barton and Jared Verse being options for the Packers, I think Kool-Aid, if not taken here for whatever reason, I think the Packers might think about going back up into the bottom of the first round and taking this because there's just simply too much smoke around the Packers' connection to him. They're taking they love guys from major schools, Alabama. So I think if the Lions don't want this pick or someone below them, I think that Kool-Aid is also an option, and he has just the best name. And Kool-Aid,
yes.
The two best names in the draft.
Completely agree. Without a doubt, the two coolest names in the draft. Up next is the Baltimore Ravens with the 30th overall pick. They have needs along the offensive line, wide receiver, edge, cornerback. I think that this is a prime spot for Troy Fontenot.
Yes.
The offensive lineman out of Washington who has a ton of versatility, as we talked about.
He's probably the name, now that I'm looking, that I'm most concerned with that we haven't found a home for.
Yeah. I know. It has to come off
right,
at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense right there. Once again, the Ravens are so good at, you know, finding value at the back half of the first round as they've done consistently. And I think they do it again right here.
Yeah, this is a guy who you could probably make a case for being a top 15-ish pick in a normal draft. A guy that the Ravens are going to be more than happy to draft there. Pick 31 brings us to the San Francisco 49ers. This, to me, seems like another offensive line position. You do have to consider the potential of a wide receiver. The name that I would look at here is the name that set the new record for the 40 times with Xavier Worthy. The Niners have seemingly drafted these fast guys, small fast guys, like a million times, but I'm going to go with a safer position. And I'm just going to give them Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona. I think Worthy is also a name that we should be worried about with how low he is, just because of how damn fast he is, and somebody's going to fall in love with that. He didn't have the best tape, but he also didn't have the best corner. But I'm going to go Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona. They have glaring needs on their offensive line, and they want to protect their new franchise quarterback, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense, as we all know. This one is interesting. The Kansas City Chiefs with the final pick here in the first round. Obviously a massive need at wide receiver, especially now with the Rashee Rice situation, not knowing what's going on with that. Offensive tackle, defensive line. There is Jerzon Newton sitting right there, who is probably the best value on the board and fills a position of need. But that's not fun. I want to have fun with this pick. Ah, I just want to do it. I want to do it just because I like this guy, and I think it's controversial, and I'm doing it because I want to. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State. I love Keon Coleman. I know he didn't test well. It doesn't matter to me. They just need a guy who can catch a football, and this guy can catch a football. Give me Keon Coleman of the Chiefs just for the fun of it, even though they'll probably take Jerzon Newton.
Keon Coleman was the guy who everyone saw him run his 40 time and said, oh, no, look at this guy.
Yeah.
And then they did the wide receiver gauntlet where they have them run through people throwing balls at them from each direction. And he was the fastest one recorded in speed.
Yeah,
so,
and you know who was the fastest last year in terms of recorded speed in the gauntlet?
Who's that?
Puka Nacua.
Oh, wow.
So this is like the new metric that's like, oh, my God, he's the best at the gauntlet. Therefore, he's going to be the greatest rookie wide receiver ever.
Yeah.
But no, but I think there's something to game speed versus yes. running around in spandex.
It is definitely a real thing. There are certain guys who test extremely well, and you never see it play out on the field. And then there are guys who don't test extremely well, and then you watch them play, and you go, wait.
Right.
Why is Cooper Kupp running away from guys with faster 40
right,
times?
Exactly.
Why is Puka Nacua running away from guys that are supposed to be faster
exactly,
than him?
Exactly, yeah.
So I think that is a totally fair pick. We've got a couple more teams here that I think we should just talk about.
Sure.
Namely the 33rd pick, which is the Carolina Panthers. We didn't find a home for Xavier Worthy. And if you think about disaster franchise and a team that when you watch them play, you could tell they needed speed. And let me tell you, they think they found their answer to speed by taking Xavier Worthy. To me, that makes total and complete sense. You have to figure in Ladd McConkey here also, which is just the whitest guy name of all time. He's the wide receiver from Georgia. But he also tested extremely well and would be an addition to speed with old-ass Adam Thielen running around catching nearly 100 passes for Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I think you can make a good case that they would go Xavier Worthy if that opportunity arose.
Yeah, no, it's a great wide receiver class. They can obviously, and they have a serious need there. Totally can see that happening. I think they're going to snag one of those guys. I agree.
Next up is kind of the AFC's Green Bay Packers, the Houston Texans. They have needs at they don't pick to 42, so they're definitely not 34 here. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them move up and get a little aggressive because they do have a couple more picks, not necessarily lower in this draft. So at 42, they got a need for interior defensive line, offensive line, and wide receiver. We don't necessarily have to pick a guy. We can just kind of, where do you think you could see that team going?
Yeah, I think that they're certainly going to go offensive line. I don't see them going receiver. They have Tank Dell. They have Nico Collins. And obviously they just trade for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
Offensive line makes a lot of sense. And also... interior defensive line, which could be a home for Johnny Newton that we talked about. If they're not concerned about the DUI from Tavondre Sweat, that's an option there. I think they're going on the line. Just depends on which side of the ball.
Yep.
And the last one is the team you grew up rooting for.
That's right.
They don't pick till 54.
Nope.
There's the Cleveland Browns, who have a need at interior defensive line and
as always,
linebacker.
As always. See, the thing is about the Browns, they're so analytics that they're just like, what are the two least valuable positions in all football? Defensive tackle, linebacker. That's why they always need help there. I definitely think that linebacker is probably their biggest overall need. I think that's most likely where they're going to go. Obviously, defensive interior is a position that they're going to look at as well. I see here that Junior Colson is certainly a guy, Michigan linebacker,
mm-hmm.
that they can take. But never also don't rule them out just filling up, you know, the valuable positions, wide receiver, offensive tackle, stuff like that, cornerback. But, yeah, the biggest positions of need are always in the middle of that defense. So I think it's going to be one of those guys.
Well, that'll do it. That is our whole first-round alternated mock here. Let's just run down the names quick as a follow-up here to that. We got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jane Daniels, Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt, J.J. McCarthy, Fashanu, Dallas Turner, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, Michael Penix, Roma Dunze, Quinion Mitchell, J.C. Latham, Terrion Arnold, Leatu Latu, Cooper DeJean, Fuaga, Byron Murphy, Jackson Powers Johnson, Amarius Mims, Nate Wiggins, Chop Robinson, Brian Thomas, Jared Verse, Graham Burton, Darius Robinson, A.D. Mitchell, Kool-Aid, Fatanu, Jordan Morgan, Keon Coleman.
I just love that.
And Xavier Worthy. It will be interesting. We will be recording on Friday after the draft. We can go through and look at the guys we got right, the guys we got wrong, who we didn't have in the first round that deserved to be there, and who in the first round is going to end up as a day two pick. I do want to mention before we go, re-mention it, you can watch and listen to Thursday's coverage of the first round, where we'll be out at the Q Club. And then Friday, we will be doing me, myself, Gabe Neitzel, and Alex Stroff talking about the second and third round.
Just like, can I say, that's a fun group right
where
there.
The Packers are
tuning into that.
Projected to have four picks. I have a feeling they might not have all four by the time that third round is done. But who knows? We might have an exciting second and third round, and we'll be on YouTube the whole time. So for Max, I'm Josh, and this has been the Starter Pack.